Hey, everybody, before the show gets started, I just wanted to let you know the next few episodes are from our backlog. We are trying to get reinvigorated and get back on it with some new episodes, but we recorded these ones a while ago. This one is from June, so some of the stuff we might talk about is a little outdated, but it's still a great episode, so we hope you enjoy.
And welcome to another episode of High on Horror! I'm one of your hosts, Miles, and joined today is also Josh. That's a weird way to word that. Hi, Josh is here.
Hey, it's my birthday! And I've got to pick up the phone!
Today is Josh's birthday episode, very exciting, probably coming out months later. And I'm also joined by Chris. What's up, Chris?
What up? What's up? Tombstoners. Hey.
In celebration of Josh's birthday, we are doing his favorite movie. What's your favorite movie, Josh?
Jaws.
What? What?
It's the best movie ever made.
It's pretty fucking dope. Pretty fucking dope.
Yeah. It is like a weird distinction because I say it's the best movie ever made and one of the best horror movies of all time.
It is both of those things. So in celebration of Josh's birthday, we're talking Jaws, but before we get into Jaws too much here, we can talk about some spooky stuff. Who wants to go first? What you guys got?
Spookomania. I'll go first. I've got some spooky things to say. So I've been going hard on Dead by Daylight since we last spoke, and it's the 7th year anniversary of the game, so everything is like on sale, and so I've been picking up a bunch of different killers. I'll just give you some highlights. Like, I'll tell you the licensed ones that I have, and then I'll give you some highlights of some of the other ones that I got that are just ridiculous. So I got Pinhead from Hellraiser. I think I said that already.
What's his name in the game, right? It's different.
Like
pin-faced man.
Yeah, I can't remember. Like
sex demon.
Headache.
I have the Chatterer skin for him, so it's the the really crazy looking one. And I'm
you know what the fat one's name is?
What?
Butterball.
Oh my god. I'm definitely going to be getting the Nicolas Cage character that they're going to be releasing. And
that might inspire me to buy the game.
He has his own perks that they're going to give him because every character they release has perks. So I can only imagine what the Nicolas Cage perks will be in Dead by Daylight. Like, that will be, they're going to be hilarious.
He should be a villain. He shouldn't be a survivor.
He's unkillable. But yeah, so some of the other ones that are originals for the game, there's like this kind of grudge-esque spirit demon woman that can teleport through walls. I've been absolutely annihilating people with her. They just released this like android, it's like an alien AI combo that can also it just like teleports to different points on the map. I like it's a big brother. It kind of reminds me of Malignant. It's like a big sister with like her rib cage. She has like a caved in rib cage and this little baby nestles inside of it. And the killer, she can like throw the baby out and you can control the baby and like patrol certain areas. It's so funny, dude. And then last but not least, there's one called the Dredge. And in the game, there are lockers the survivors can hide in. And there's like perks on both sides, killer and survivor, that use those. Dredge is a unique killer because he can like teleport through the lockers, like across the map and just burst out of them. And so that's pretty cool. I like him a lot. It's like an amalgamation of flesh and darkness, basically. So yeah, that's all been really, really fun. And I just copped, there's some Attack on Titan skins for some of the characters. I had to cop one before because they're like taking it out of the game.
That's it.
So I was like, scooped.
This game sounds like the greatest game ever made. I really ought to get into this.
It's really fun. It's super hard, though. Like, I will say it can be really frustrating at times because you're just like, bro, I just spawned, and now I have Texas Chainsaw Massacre Bubba on top of me, chainsaw fully revved, cutting my limbs off. Like, so it can kind of go either way, but, man, it's really, really fun when it goes your way.
Yeah.
So I've been.
I always wanted to play that one in the Friday the 13th, but I guess we talked about that last time.
Well, the new. Speaking of Texas Chainsaw, there's a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre game coming out that we should all get and play together. That would be really fun, and we could stream Absolutely. That too.
I concur.
That would be fun.
Yes. I guess we'll let Josh lead us into the movie, so I'll just talk about my spooky thing real quick. I have a whole pile of them. I'll just pick the one that happened to me yesterday. If you type in horror on your, like, Alexa or your Fire TV, it gives you all of these apps that nobody uses, like, you can pick from. Like, there's one called Halloween Plus. I'm going to check that one out tonight, I think. But the one I found is called Dread TV. Have you guys heard of Dread TV?
I have.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of like, it seems like an alternative to Shudder a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like it's like the fearnet.com of modern era. But I don't know if any big movies are on it, because the biggest actor I saw is the bad guy from Terminator 2, and he does a lot of shitty movies. So
one of the greatest actors of our generation.
He just,
Robert Patrick.
He just needs to keep working. He won't let it die. But yeah, on Dread TV, I watched a movie called Radius. And I think it might have been a fluke, because it was actually a pretty good movie for having no budget at all. Like, I was intrigued. The premise is that a dude wakes up from a car crash, and anyone who comes within 50 feet of him just dies. So he's walking around trying to figure it out, and everyone he's walking towards is just dying. And then his girlfriend shows up, and she has, like, the opposite thing, where she keeps him from dying if she's near him, and she keeps anyone else around him from dying. But then when she walks away, everyone around him dies. So, like, there's points where they're getting separated in, like, highly populated areas, and they're just trying to, like, stay within a certain distance of each other and stuff. It was actually pretty good. I did not mind that movie at all. I enjoyed it. And that's Radius is what it's called.
That sounds like it could be an X-Men origin story of two twins, and their powers are just like, they have to stay together all the time, but sometimes they murder a little bit.
I mean, you're spot on. That's exactly what it should have been. But the acting was pretty good. I was surprised, because usually B movies have bad actors. But yeah, they had a budget. There was like, everyone who would fall over did it in unison and everything. It was great. So, yep, that's what I got. Josh, you are decked out in Jaws regalia right now.
I am. I got a lot of Jaws stuff. Before I get to my Jaws stuff, I did actually watch a movie this week. I watched Renfield.
Oh, how was it?
Ooh.
It was pretty good. It's exactly what it looks like it would be. It's a stupid horror comedy, but there's a lot of good practical effects in it. And it was pretty funny. Surprise appearance by what's his fucking name? The guy that does Sonic's voice?
Is he the guy?
John Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, John Ralphio from Parks and Rec. He's in it. He plays a mobster's son. And it was pretty good time. There's a lot of fun, like, remaking of the old Universal footage at the beginning of the movie. So that was a good time. I recommend it. It's exactly what it looks like. It's a horror comedy, and it's Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage. So what more can you ask for?
I absolutely want Nicolas Cage being Nicolas Cage, and I want him in Dead by Daylight doing so.
Yeah, killing people. That's
Nicolas Cage. I feel like Nick Cage is like the modern Chuck Norris. Like, everyone's just like, he's the king of cool now, the unstoppable killing machine.
I hope that they do a Nick Cage villain skin and bring him in the game as Renfield.
That would be cool. Have Nick Cage.
Well, he's Dracula, yeah.
Or as Dracula, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'd take him as Dracula, turn into a bat and shit.
Yeah.
He turns into a cloud and flies down your throat.
Yeah, that would be awesome. A lot of people really wanted him to be a villain online. Like, they were like, can we please have him be both?
Yeah, it should. It totally should. Young Nick Cage is a bad guy. Modern day Nick Cage is the survivor.
Dude, bring him in as Ghost Rider as the killer. Or his character from Pig.
I'll take it. With the pig. Only if he has the pig.
National Treasure Murderer.
He beats you to death with the Declaration of Independence.
He, like, wraps it around your head like it's plastic wrap.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about sharks now.
Yeah, besides Renfield, we're doing Jaws today because, it's like Miles said, it's my favorite movie of all time. I've loved this movie since I was far too young to be watching it. I had a big toy box when I was a kid that had like a lid, and I would take all my toys out of it and sit in it like it was the boat from this movie. And I would play Jaws in my bedroom by myself because I fucking love this movie. So I have a lot of Jaws stuff. I am wearing a Jaws tank top. My kids got me this Jaws shorts for my birthday.
Oh, nice. Dope.
I love them. These are my other Jaws shorts.
We're going to need pics online of all this stuff.
I love it.
I got other Jaws tank top.
The Jaws fit. I like that one.
Jaws shirt.
That's a lot of Jaws, bro. I like it.
I also have this Jaws shirt, which is just the poster with the shark coming up below the woman. But I have it in Funko version, where it's the Funko Pop of Jaws and his little Funko lady swimming at the top. That one's in the wash, as well as my Jaws socks that are in the wash right now.
Dude, that's the also, most Josh thing I've ever heard. It's Jaws and Funko on a shirt.
Yeah. Speaking of which, these are my Jaws Funko Pops. I got Bruce the Shark with blood all over his face. Bruce the Shark with the oxygen tank in his mouth.
Good.
I got Chief Brody with the chum bucket and the cigarette hanging out of his mouth. Hooper with his little hat on, his backpack. And Quinn with the gun.
Hell
he's the
yeah.
best.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And the boat. The orca with Quinn getting eaten by the shark.
God.
That's awesome.
This is one of my favorite ones. I love this
That's
one so much.
That's amazing.
Usually these are all on top of my refrigerator. But yes, I love Jaws. And today, as of this recording, we're recording this on June 20th, it is the 48th anniversary of the release of Jaws, which we did not plan.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Quite fortuitous.
Dude.
Yep.
Right in the middle of beach season.
Yeah. Chris lives in actual shark neighborhood. I live in where this movie takes place. Shark neighborhood.
I'm in a landlocked state.
I will say in my where I grew up in Ormond Beach in Florida, there have been like great whites that they've tagged that swim up and down like the area all the way to Ponce Inlet. From like Daytona, Ormond, Ponce Inlet, and they're freaking huge. They're like big, big ones. So I can't even imagine. I can't. The opening scene of this movie is absolutely
stay out
horrifying.
Of the ocean, people.
The opening scene of this movie is absolutely horrifying to me to this day. Like, it's so scary.
And I think that's why I love this movie so much. This is one of the most well-shot films in cinematic history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Steven Spielberg, but this is Steven Spielberg, like, becoming Steven Spielberg. And this is not the movie that he set out to make at all. Like, there were so many problems with the shark and the animatronics, and actually, like, they worked fine when they were on land, and but once they put them in water, they didn't do any of the things that they wanted to do. So they had to come up with a bunch of workarounds and actually, like, work on their craft of being able to build suspense. Because the original idea was to show the shark all the time. This movie was going to have, like, shark in every scene. And then it just didn't work out. So they're like, well, how do we make this scary without showing the shark? And then they fucking knocked it out of the park.
Mission accomplished. They understood the assignment.
Yeah. And I think that is why, like, a lot of the more recent Steven Spielberg movies just kind of fall flat. Like, he does a lot of, like, war movies or like espionage movies that people seem to like, but when he tries to do like big summer blockbusters, still nobody just seems to really care anymore, because he has unlimited access to everything now, so there is no like creativity to like have to work around. And you know, it happens with a lot of artists, you know, once they're not starving artists anymore, it's hard for them to really be like putting their pain onto the page or whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I really like Spielberg. He's done a lot of my favorite movies. Like, Munich is super, super good. Have you guys seen that one?
So good, yeah.
I haven't seen Munich.
It's real good. And, like, he did Schindler's List and all that shit, obviously. He's one of the great icons. And I wouldn't say his movies completely fall flat right now, but I also don't know of any that came out in the last few years, so maybe I'm wrong.
He did the BFG.
I liked that movie. That movie was great. Yeah.
He did what's the one based on the book about living in the computer world?
Ready Player One. I loved that shit.
Yeah,
too.
He did that. Yeah, but these movies they're not with a man of his stature. He is the greatest filmmaker of all time, and his movies should still be regarded as that. But they're not. Like. Yeah. His movies come out and they just kind of come out and disappear, like, and people aren't really talking about them anymore. I mean, that being said, he did win an Academy Award last year, so.
I mean, it's just their little fan club. Like, they all just are like, and here, let's give another one to Steve.
Yeah. But, I mean, his run of movies is hard to touch. I mean, his only movie before this was a movie called Duel. Have you ever seen that?
No.
That could be considered a horror movie, too. It's a very cool movie. I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid. The whole movie is about a man in a car, and he's being chased by, like, a semi-truck. And you never see the person in the semi-truck.
Shit.
So you don't know if it's, like, the manifestation of evil, if it's actually a person in a truck, like, terrorizing this man. It's very, like, tense and impressive for a low-budget film of the time. And then his next movie was Jaws.
So this one really put him on the map, and watching this movie and really paying attention to the camera angles and like just the way everything is shot, this dude really was from the start a cut above the rest, in my opinion. Like, I never was really into film the last time I watched this movie, and this time I watched it with a critical eye, and man, this guy had serious talent for filmmaking. Obviously, he's Steven Spielberg, but it's just, you don't, when you watch a Spielberg movie, you don't often notice exactly how well done something is.
Yeah, I think how well it holds up to this day says so much about the, like, solid, like, cinematography, music, editing. Like, all of the things on the back end of a movie that can, like, really make or break it, too. It just, like, all came together so well.
It's a real anomaly of a film. This movie helped inspire my greatest fear, which is sharks. I am so scared of sharks. I will not get in the ocean, because your chances of being eaten by a shark outside of the ocean are much, 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 much lower, and I prefer those odds. I don't, anywhere where I'm not the apex predator, I don't want to be.
I agree with you with all of that, except for I do get in the ocean, but yes to everything else.
You're gambling with your life.
I am. This freaking, if this shark was in the ocean, just like specifically to people, it's like, hey, you, fuck you. Like, the shark is on a fucking warpath.
So, we mentioned earlier the beginning of this movie is terrifying, and that is the couple go skinny dipping. The guy falls down a hill and is unconscious. Is that what happens to him, or does he just take a nap?
Yeah, they've been, like, drinking, yeah. So they're all drunk. That's why, at first, they're like, maybe she was just drunk and drowned. But then they're like, well, her entire body's chewed up, so yeah. We don't think she drowned.
Yep, she gets ate while boyfriend is chilling on the beach and goes missing, and that's when we call in our main protagonist, right?
Yes, but let's talk about that scene where the girl gets fucking eviscerated. She,
yeah, I mean, I don't think we have to. Everyone's seen Jaws. I'm not sure we have to walk bit by bit through this. But,
no,
I mean,
this one in particular, though, is crazy.
But the opening scene, it's one of the most iconic scenes in movie history. Yes. And, I mean, it's just so, like, spine-chillingly horrifying without showing you anything. You see zero shark in the scene. But you fucking sure as hell know he's there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and like the actress that was, you know, on the harness that they had her on, it like broke her hip in the process. So she's like shrieking in real life, like because of the pain that it's causing to her. And it's just a really crazy ass scene. It's kind of like, it reminds me of that DiCaprio scene in Django. Where he like breaks the glass or whatever, and it's just like, it's, they just kept rolling, like, it's wild.
I didn't know that she broke her hip. That's crazy.
Yeah, they basically had her like harnessed with ropes on both sides, so there was two teams just like pulling her back and forth. So she's like, when she's being dragged through the water, there's like a rope under the water just like pulling her to one side and then pulling her to the other side. But, I mean, they got to put some torque on this to make it look like a shark's whipping her around. Jesus.
Oh, that sounds so painful. It sounds like a saw trap.
Like a real life.
Yeah,
one.
I mean, you just, I mean, and this actress is a nobody. She didn't go on to like do anything, but she perfectly conveys pure terror in this scene. I mean, she gets to that buoy and you think she has some sort of hope, and it's like, no. like you're not safe. Like, there's like the briefest pause from her attack to where then she is dragged off again, and her screams are so realistic that you're just like, holy shit, I'm in. Where is this going? Like, because there are a lot of animal attack movies, but very rarely are they actually scary.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know if it's the fact that, I mean, they use the depth of the ocean so well in this movie to basically be like, it could be anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely, especially, you know, later in the movie when they're literally surrounded by nothing but water. It's like, you are out, you're the one out of place. Like, this boat is not safe. You are surrounded by death at any time, basically. So, I mean, it's just, he does it. I'm surprised he didn't do more horror movies, because he does horror and suspense so beautifully that, I mean, he really could have been, like, a big horror director. I mean, he produced Poltergeist, but he directed Poltergeist, and he was just, like, legally not allowed to say he did because he wasn't supposed to be doing that. Okay. He was legally obligated to be directing something else, and he's like, but I really want to make this horror movie. So Toby Hooper, the director of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, is credited as the director of that movie. And he's like, yeah, I didn't do much. Like, Steven really helmed the wheel here.
Interesting, didn't know that either.
Side note, what do you guys think about the sequels in this franchise in general?
I know the third one has the best marketing material, because I got that on a shirt. I thought the poster for 3 was great.
Which one was that one?
It's like SeaWorld going on, and it's like the traditional shark one, except the shark kind of looks cooler, and there's all these SeaWorld people around, and I think there's a dolphin jumping.
I remember.
It's like
that
water
one.
Water yeah. skiers, yeah.
Yeah.
That one was supposed to be, they were going to make it like a comedy. It was going to be called Jaws 3 People Zero, like a score. And then they were like, no. I was thinking about that on the way home today. Is like Jaws is like the only big horror movie that I can think of where everybody knows that there's sequels to this movie, but the first one stands alone. Like, yeah. It isn't like, oh, we got a first one. Remember all those bad ones that came after it? Like, no one ever thinks of that. No one ever thinks of Jaws and then three pretty mediocre sequels. Like, everyone just kind of, like, a lot. I'm sure lots of people would be surprised to even find out there are sequels to Jaws.
Jaws 4, The Revenge. This time,
with
it's
Michael,
personal.
With Michael Caine.
Yeah, dude.
Michael Caine had the greatest quote for Jaws, The Revenge. He was asked once, he said, he goes, what did you think of Jaws the Revenge when it came out? Because he famously was not there to accept his Academy Award because he was filming Jaws the Revenge. He gave one of the best performances of his life where he received an Academy Award and did not receive it because he was filming one of the worst movies people think exists. And his response was, I have not seen the film. I've seen the house that the film bought, and I like that house a lot, so that's fine with me.
That's amazing. So Jaws did a lot for video games, too, all the way back then. Like, we still are getting video games that you get to play as a shark. I had a real... I have a whole episode that I do by myself of the Disc Dump where I did, like, a shitload of research into playing sharks in video games, because they were always like my favorite games in computer class. Odell Down Under. What? Don't know if you guys ever played that. It's one of the greatest games ever.
No, but I did play Word Shark.
That's a thing. Yep. Word Shark's a yeah. thing. But it eventually, like, this franchise helmed an entire genre of both video games and horror movies. Like, we got to the point now, the precipice of humanity, we have 30,000 Sharknado movies. And these movies would not exist if not for the genre that Jaws created. Every year, there's at least two new CGI shark movies. Every year. And it thrives on, I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know who's watching these movies, but they keep coming out.
There is a pretty awesome Jaws video game on the PS2.
Yep.
That I absolutely loved.
I never got to play that. That was one that I was like legit envious about, because I'm pretty sure it was only PS2.
Yeah. And yeah, it was a PS2 exclusive.
So I always would look at that one. I was like, damn it. If there was a game to get me to buy a PlayStation, this might be it. But I did eventually buy that game, Maneater, where you get to play as a shark. And that's a more modern one, and that one's pretty badass.
I couldn't get into it. I was like, this is the greatest game ever made. I'm so excited to play it. And the controls are just wonky. I couldn't figure it out.
It gets a little crazy when you jump on land, like onto a golf course, hop up to the hole, grab somebody and rip them apart, and then jump back to the water.
Yeah, that gets out of hand. It's a very silly game, but that's the episode of the Disc Dump, is the Maneater, am I going to keep it, am I going to dump it episode. So, mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, shark movies are not my favorite movies, but this is one of the greatest movies ever made.
Agree.
Straight. It absolutely is.
Damn yeah. straight.
Yeah, I mean, let's touch on other famous parts of this movie, I guess, since we're not, yeah, everyone knows the story of Jaws. This scene where the little boy gets eaten, I found out recently that is a heavily edited scene to what they actually filmed, and I've seen, like, a still of it. Like, it was a much more gruesome, like, you can see the boy, like, hanging out of the shark's mouth in the original cut.
Jesus.
And him like chewing him up and stuff. And I was like, I want to see this fucking footage. I want to see it so bad. My dick is hard. Like, it sounds incredible. Like, I want as brutal as a film as I could possibly get with this. Like, I'm on the side of the shark. Like,
that's crazy.
Fuck these people.
Bro.
I wish the mayor had gotten eaten.
I do too. I was waiting for that motherfucker to go out on the water.
I heard a comedian once say that he said, if you're wondering how politicians can be corrupt, just think of it this way. The mayor in Jaws is still the mayor in Jaws 2.
There's a lot of like pictures of shark attacks and stuff in this movie, and they're legit real pictures of people who have been attacked by sharks. And to me, that is pretty... That's about as gory as it could get, even though there really wasn't much by way of blood in these pictures. Just, like, tendrils of flesh.
Meat.
Meat.
Like, hot, fresh meat.
And that makes me wonder, the tiger shark that they kill in this movie, that looks an awful lot like a real tiger shark.
Oh, they killed a real one.
Yeah.
I think that scene is so cool when they cut it open, because it's just like, you don't know what they're actually doing, what they're actually cutting into or whatever, but like the, it just like pours out. And there's like fish heads and license plates and cans, and they're just like, yep, no little boy in here.
Like, no Gatorade bottles,
but even that,
either. Like, what the fuck?
I think, like, that scene and the scene where they go out at night in the boat looking for the shark, I think both of those scenes are very, like, because there are so many, like, memorable scenes in this, I think both of those scenes are extremely well shot and great for character development, and they're very, like, forgotten scenes. Just, dude, like, when they open to that shark autopsy and it's, like, the knife, like, the shine off the knife is, like, perfectly in the camera. Like, I think it's such a cool-looking scene.
When they're diving at night at that ship, that is terrifying. Like,
yeah, it's so dark.
It's so dark. You're like, oh, my God, this thing's going to chew them up.
There are people who actually scuba dive at night, and I don't understand that because it's black as night and sharks. Like, super scary.
I mean, not that you're much safer during the day. The ocean is pretty dark to begin with.
Yeah, but, like, if you're swimming along the shore, you can see some shit coming at you, whereas in the darkness, you cannot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to do either.
No,
so.
Me neither. Do you swim in the ocean when you go to the beach, Josh?
I mean, I do here, because I have lakes.
I guess that's
there's
true.
No sharks here.
Come on down to Florida and post up in the water with me.
I did with you.
Yeah.
We had a grand old time.
It was chilling. No sharks. If they were there, they were there to party.
Yeah.
How do we feel about the captain? I don't remember people's names and anything. The captain guy, the crazy fisherman man.
Robert Shaw is the actor's name. His name is Quint in this movie.
Quint.
Is he in other things after this?
He died shortly after this.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. I was wondering, like, I felt like none of the people in this movie, except for Richard Dreyfuss, like, really, like, are really all that famous. Like, I don't recognize them.
Chief Brody was a pretty big actor at the time. Robert Shaw was a very respected actor. I think the only thing that I've seen him in, though, besides this, is The Sting. And did you ever see the movie Pelham 123 with Denzel Washington and John Travolta about the train heist?
No, I did not.
I think
that was a
that,
that was a remake of a 70s movie, which that's the biggest movie I know him being in besides Jaws. It was him and Walter Matthau from Grumpy Old Men.
Love me some Matthau.
But yeah, Matthau's the best. But Roy Scheider was a big actor. I think he was in the original Italian Job.
Ooh.
He was in the French Connection. He's also in Jaws too. But yeah, he was. He had a big movie in the 80s about a helicopter. It was like an action movie, and Ben loves it. He talks about it all the time. But he was just one of those, like, that guys. And I love him in this movie. I think he's great.
I can't imagine another actor doing the quality work that man did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just such a lovable character. Like, because he's the everyman. Everybody can relate to him. He's just trying to do his job, but, you know, he's got fears. But I mean, overall, I like that he has like kind of an unwavering sense of justice.
Yeah.
Like, even though like he gets talked into keeping the beach open against his you know, better judgment and stuff like that.
He's chain smoking like a motherfucker.
It was
like,
the '70s, baby.
Yeah, but like I'm just saying, like every time he has to deal with some bullshit, he's like, "Give me a fucking cigarette right now," like.
Yeah, I believe there's one part where he's looking for a cigarette and he's already has a cigarette.
Stressful job, man. His apparently in the book, his wife and one of the main three characters, they like
Richard Dreyfuss.
They have like an affair.
Yeah, the book is very different. Yeah, they're like this lovable couple in this movie. And in the book, they are very much not. They, like, hate each other. And then, yeah, she's banging Richard Dreyfuss behind his back.
Jesus. I'm glad they didn't take that run with this movie. I liked it better that they were friends.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, fast friends, too. And then you just have this counterpoint of Quint, who's just an asshole to everybody. But you need him because he knows his shit.
I liked all of the scenes where Richard Dreyfuss was proving that he knew what he was doing on a ship. Like, you know, he was like, you think you're fancy pants, huh? Why don't you tie this kind of knot? And he's like, you didn't tell me what direction or whatever he says. I don't know.
But yeah.
That, like, the scenes where, like, the character, you could, like, feel character development happening just, like, right in front of you. Usually it's kind of a passive thing, but it was very much like, man, I'm really enjoying him, like, gaining respect.
Yeah, well, it's a fun, like, duality, because they are both right. They're both right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's right through his knowledge of, you know, being a well-educated person, and Quint is right through his experience of going through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like,
Quint's definitely my favorite character.
His monologue about the war.
Black like Darkseid.
It's like the best monologue in movie history.
It's,
I love it
chilling,
so much,
dude.
And it's based on a true story, like the sinking of the USS Indianapolis is a real event, and dude, those people really did get eaten by sharks.
So I had a veteran from World War II that was on the Indianapolis that came to my school and spoke to our history class.
Holy shit. That's crazy.
Which was insane.
Did he?
It was like seven.
Did he just do this speech?
72 men went into the water.
Ran into a good friend of mine named Fatty. He was bobbing up and down.
So if they did,
no, but it was amazing. It was so cool.
If they did like a spin-off, like a series on, I don't know, Amazon, that was like the younger years. I guess it would be like a Navy show then, wouldn't it? I was thinking of him like sailing around fighting sea monsters.
Well, since we've mentioned Nicolas Cage twice in this episode, there was a Nicolas Cage did a movie a few years ago about the Indianapolis, which the trailer made look awesome, and then when it came out and was streaming on Netflix, I was like, oh no, this does not look good.
That's the joy of Nick
and
Cage,
I was that's true. Yeah,
you know what I would love is give me a movie in the Jaws universe of Quint. Actually, Miles, you're right, but not fighting sea monsters. He's on the Indianapolis, and there's like a legit military battle first. So we get like a straight up action movie for the first like quarter of it. And then the rest of the movie is the sharks just like shredding people. And Nicolas Cage is the main actor.
I'd be into that. I would be super into that.
But young Quint, and make it like hell. Make it, there's like one in particular that's like hunting him, and he ends up like fighting it off somehow or killing it.
My favorite, one of my favorite lines of his is his toast, which I often say when toasting with my friends or family, which is, "Here's to swimming with bow-legged women." I say that all the time. I love it so much.
So the shark's name is Bruce. Is it true that Bruce is named after Steven Spielberg's lawyer?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it the case that one of these Jaws movies starts with the shark dying and then a baby shark swimming out, and then that's how the movie starts, is it's like Jaws Jr.?
I think that's Jaws 2.
No, that doesn't happen. I feel like that was like an urban legend, because I remember hearing that as a little kid.
But I feel like I've seen
that there was some sort of Jaws Jr. movie.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I've never seen it. No.
Because how is Jaws back definitely in the is sequel not if it got blowed up?
It's just a different shark.
I like the evil shark baby better.
Yeah, but in the second one, don't they have like a whole monologue about how they think it's like related to fucking Jaws?
No, in the fourth one, the mom feels like there's some sort of like family rivalry between the Brodies and the some Brodies. Sort of sharks. She's like, they won't stop until they kill us all.
Oh my god. Okay.
I'll break it down right now how this is the best one. The second one ends with Roy Scheider in like a rubber tube feeding an electrical line from the ocean into the shark's mouth, electrocuting it to death. The third one, I think he's chewing on a body of someone holding a grenade, and they pull the pin on the grenade and it blows up. In SeaWorld, in underwater SeaWorld.
Yep. Yeah, that's a dope one.
Which has
one.
A surprisingly big cast. Dennis Quaid is in it. Lou Gossett Jr. is like the guy running SeaWorld. There's a lot of people in it.
One of the great films of our time.
And then in Jaws 4, it leaps out of the water and gets impaled by the post at the end of the boat.
Jaws. I'm glad they made the first one.
Yeah. The other ones are fun to watch, but they're not good.
No. I mean, you know me. I'm down for that any day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, I actually, I'm not going to lie to you. I would love to see a Jaws, like a modern take on Jaws. I think if like, it's not going to be as good as the original, but it can't be worse than the sequels.
Yeah, I don't want CGI Jaws, though.
No, definitely not. It should be practical.
Yeah. Leave it be, people. Don't you ever touch my beautiful boy.
It's ripe for a picking.
But what else? What else about this movie? The barrels. The barrels were invented as like their workaround for not being able to use the shark. So that's how you know the shark's around, because the barrel, they shoot with the barrels, and the barrels pop up once in a while. So and it's very tense. Like, I love that scene where they are sharing like war stories of how they got their scars, and they're getting drunk and having dinner, and while they're like singing and shit outside of the boat, the fucking barrels pop up, and so you know the shark's there, and they don't know the shark's there. It's very, very intense. There is a sequence right after that, the shark like rams the boat and the boat starts flooding and they have to pump it and stuff, and it's nighttime and they go outside and there's a shooting star in the background. You can see a shooting star that is an actual shooting star that was not added for the film. That's and because cool. of that, Steven Spielberg has, there is a shooting star in all of his movies. If you watch closely enough, there will always be a shooting star somewhere in the film because he caught that on film by accident.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Now I'm going to have a keep an eye out for it. But how do we know they're not airplanes?
It's too fast to be an airplane.
Or fireflies.
My main takeaway from this movie is that I'm scared of sharks. That really is my main thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're terrifying, especially when you actually do, I mean, they sure do pay it off at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
That motherfucker comes right up on that boat.
Oh my God.
As depicted here in my sweet, sweet Funko Pop, our main man, Quint, here, gets his legs bitten off.
Dude.
Blood shoots out of his mouth. It's terrifying.
That one is crazy. Like, that part of this movie is just like, I remember the first time I saw it, and I was like, well, at least they're on the boat. Then he just starts taking the boat apart, and I'm like, oh my God! Like, how big of a boat do you need for this freaking thing? And then he says
a
the thing.
A bigger boat?
Yeah, he
Chris,
says the
a
thing.
A bigger one.
It was just crazy. I did not expect Bruce to absolutely eviscerate that ship.
It's such an incredibly... Well, like, I don't know how they did it. Like, how did he not actually get his legs crushed by this animatronic? Like, and yeah. It's going back and forth and just, like, slowly drags his bloody corpse into the water.
Oh,
it's just like, holy shit. And then it breaks back through the side of the boat as it's going down. And Brody's just fucking beating it with an oxygen tank. I love it.
Dude, the shark, like, cage scene. People don't talk about that scene. That scene was crazy.
And I believe that footage, because there's actual, it's cutting between, like, Richard Dreyfuss in a cage and an animatronic animatronic shark, and then a person in a cage with a real shark. That real shark footage was, like, the first actual great white shark footage recorded.
Really?
They had, like, a team filming it in Australia, and they were like, we just got lucky to get it in time for the film. Like, they were just going to use the footage of Richard Dreyfuss. And then they were like, we have an actual scene of a shark attacking a cage.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they're like, we'll take it. We need
it. Hell yeah.
Dude, like, I feel like in addition to just, like, shark movies in general, the cage scene that you brought up, Miles, it's like that's also inspired a whole offshoot of shark movies. There are, like, multiple just about being in a shark cage and whatever going wrong, like getting dropped to the 47 meters down is
Mandy
an
Moore.
One. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we got a sequel from that one. So I think it's just, again, a testament to this movie, how, like, insanely influential it is.
One of the greatest movies ever made has spawned some of the worst dog shit ever to caress your television screen.
Well, I mean, that happens a lot. I mean, with movies, when something's influential, people just try to fucking jump on the bandwagon all the time. But, I mean, yeah, this really... And we're just thinking of, like, more recent stuff. In the 80s, there was a ton of fucking movies trying to be Jaws. There's a movie called Orca, which is pretty good. That's about an orca where, like, poachers kill its baby, so then it goes out on a fucking revenge mission to kill
awesome.
All these these people. Yeah. There was Alligator. There was two Alligator movies in the 80s. The first one's pretty good. Second one's pretty wild. And then they just never stopped. Every few years, you know, that's what Anaconda was. That was Lake Placid was. Like, they're just trying to jump on the... What's a giant water animal that people would be scared of?
And deep
they can't
blue
touch
sea.
The original.
The shallow.
Yeah, deepest, bluest. My head is like a shark's fin. That's the great LL Cool J once said.
Did that episode end up getting released, or is that the lost episode?
Yeah. No, it's out
there.
Okay,
good.
Go listen to it, people.
Yes.
But, I mean, yeah, then the ending of this movie is Chief Brody saying, smile, you son of a bitch, and shooting... Poor Bruce in the mouth.
So,
our hero falls.
Yeah, this so satisfying.
And then I didn't notice for the longest time, but you can see, like, it is one of those movies where, like, the ending just kind of happens. Like, the shark gets blown up, and then it's like, hey, Richard Dreyfuss is alive, and credits.
Mm-hmm.
But the credits are like a zoomed out shot of a beach. And for the longest time, I thought it was just a beach. But if you do look closely, you can see the two of them swim to shore and get out of the water.
Oh, cool.
So it's not just like a picture. It is actually them like swimming to shore and not dying.
Huh.
I did get to see this movie on IMAX last year, and it was just as incredible as I always thought it would be.
That's awesome. That's
amazing. I fucking love it. I love it so much. I've probably watched this movie 40 times, and I've never gotten sick of it, ever.
There was one summer it was on multiple channels every day. It was like TNT and AMC both had Jaws. And during that, it was like one of the, I don't know if it was summer or Halloween, but I watched that movie so many times during that period. Like, you'd just be doing homework or whatever, because that's how long ago that was. And, yeah, you'd just be watching Jaws also.
I just want to reiterate how much this has had an influence on me in being terrified in bodies of water that I can't see the bottom of. Not even when I was a child, it was not even just the ocean. Like, fucking swimming pools, lakes. Yeah. I was just, like, traumatized. And that says something about this movie. It just taps into something deeply, deeply primal inside of you.
I still feel that way when I'm in a swimming pool.
Yeah, I mean, the effectiveness of this movie where people are just terrified to, like, take a bath. like be wet where there's no chance, there's zero chance you could run into a shark and just feel like you're going to. I mean, it's just the effectiveness of, I mean, the way it's shot, the incredible score by the great John Williams. I think the second, besides the opening scene, the scariest scene in this movie is the attack when the boys are in the boat.
Oh my God.
And the guy comes up to them and they all get knocked out of their boats. And you see, like, an aerial view, and you just see this massive shark come sideways in the water, underneath the water. He's just, like, so close where you can see him, and just, like, takes the guy down. How they did that, I have no fucking clue. It looks like they just got a shark to attack a man. And it is terrifying. And yeah, I just can't say enough good things about this movie. Fucking love this movie.
We don't even need to bother rating it, right? Like, we know that.
Yeah, no.
Like, Kakoa Shaw is Bruce approved, if anything.
Yeah, goddamn right he is.
Yeah. Yeah, like, this movie was an auto lock. Like, it's just known that this is, there's a reason this movie is still in the conversation for film from 1975. Like, there's not a lot of films that people would be like, you've got to watch this movie, and this is one of them, you know?
Yeah, note to myself, insert a clip of, what's the guy's name from The Boys? The Superman guy?
Homelander.
Homelander, insert a clip of Homelander saying, perfect. It's perfect.
It was perfect. Perfect. Everything. Down to the last minute details.
Awesome. Well, happy birthday,
so,
Josh.
Yeah, Kakoa Shaw approved, bitches. Kakao!
Kakao!
Happy birthday, Josh.
Thanks, buddies. I'm taking that from you too, Chris.
I was gonna say it, but it was stolen. You stole it from me, Josh. Happy birthday, Josh.
Yeah, June baby's up in the house.
June baby.
Awesome.
Love to see it. I am so happy we did this movie on the show. I think this is any podcast that covers movies in general should cover this movie at some point.
I agree.
Yeah, you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't talk about this. If you don't like Jaws, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
This movie is perfection.
I got a really cool harness attached to two lines where people are on either side that I'm trying to put you in.
Yeah. I hope you have a devil's three-way with a cactus.
I hope you have eternal sadness. Sorry, go on.
I hope you live alone and you die alone. But yeah, plugs. Get soshed up. Be sure to check us out on social media. We've been a little more active lately. Miles has been hitting us with the horror t-shirts.
Soshed.
Yeah, we ought to all continue this trend. We're putting on a horror shirt of the day. May turn out to be horror shirt of the week after a while because we only own so many shirts. But
yeah, you want to see these beautiful Jaws shirts?
Hell yeah.
Check out our Sosh.
What up, your boys got four shirts. Get ready. They're coming to you live.
I think I have 32 now. So I got us going for a month.
I was going to say, get ready. We got 1 month coming in from Miles.
I just don't want it to be just like a collage of me standing in different poses with horror t-shirts. We got to get you guys in there a couple times.
I'm going to make a calendar, but it's like a 1 month calendar and your photos every day. So you just like turn the page.
I love it. One of those rip away ones.
Yeah, exactly. No, actually, you just got to reuse it every year, even if it's not the right days lining up with the dates.
And I would do that. I would do it for you. We also sell shirts. If you want to get yourself cool shirts, it's honhpod.threadless.com. And I don't know if we ever got around to putting up those She's So Hot shirts, but I feel reinvigorated and like I can do social media for a few weeks before I give up completely. So hopefully I'll get a shirt on that.
We'll see.
Okay. So remember, life is tough, so why not get horny?